Hey guys, welcome back to Me I Talk. Just to remind you guys again, once more, this is season 2, and I am super excited to be here today because of this topic. I have had a very great opportunity to speak to someone on our topic today, and I have my guest online, Mr. O. Hello.
Hello. Hi, how are you? How are you guys?
I'm fine. Thank you so much for joining me today on this episode. I know it might not be the easiest of all conversations to have today, but I am so glad that you accepted my invitation.
No problem.
So today we'll be talking about prison, prisoners, reformation, regrets, and experiences. And I remember when I actually wanted to speak to you about this, I was thinking to myself, wow, would he be able to want to talk about this? But you gave me the go ahead. So, to start with, you've had experience before. Finding yourself in that situation. I know there's a difference between a jail and a prison, if I'm correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, do you want to tell us a little bit about how you found yourself there?
Let's just say there. Obviously, I was in a foreign country.
Okay.
I wasn't in Nigeria. Let's just to summarize it as best as I can. I had some friends that were not the best of friends. Let's call it that. Let's just call them that. It was more like I was friends with someone in like a gang. Let's say a gang. It's
okay.
Much more complicated than a gang, but it was so obviously, you know, when you live with people like that, you tend to live a certain lifestyle. So it was a bit flashy and a bit, you know, everybody. I was in music. I was producing music at the time.
Okay.
You know, while I was going to school and doing all of that. So, you know, there was this, you know, this crazy wild lifestyle that we were living. And so it got me noticed, being that I was a black guy associated with a Russian bratva. Let's call them. That's what they were called, the Russian mafia. And eventually, when investigations started going on, this guy is accessible. He's not protected by anybody's, you know, in a sense. Because I wasn't in the gang. I was just affiliated. I knew them. I was like friends, you know. So like, okay, let's go after this guy. Since he's easy to get to, and then, yeah. So you know, it's not like an American movie where you have rights and all of that. I was in Eastern Europe, so I was supposed to be in I was supposed to be in like a holding,
okay.
You know, but a proper prison. It was supposed to be like holding for a week or something, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Ended up being there for almost a year.
Oh my god! So the first time. I know that must have been very traumatic for you to start with. And the first time or the only time you got arrested, how did it feel? What was your first thoughts when they actually put a handcuff on you? Did you think about your parents? Did you think about yourself? What was going through your head?
Wow. Okay. This is the first. Let me say I was in a state of disbelief. Like, in part of my mind was like, this is not actually happening. You know, I'm dreaming, or, you know, someone is playing a prank on me or something, because, you know, I hadn't committed any crime. So why was I being arrested? And the weird thing was, I was arrested on a train. I was arrested on a train going from one country to another country. I'm not going to mention the name exactly.
Yeah,
but, normally, they're not supposed to be able to do that. because I already knew a bit of a bit about the law there. So like, I'm not supposed to be able to do that. But they were very smart about it. Like once I stepped off the train, they were just waiting. You know.
Wow.
So it wasn't. I thought about everything. You know, when it didn't feel real. It didn't feel real until they got me to the police station.
Wow.
You know? And when I was at the police station and they were trying to get me to sign, you know, papers I couldn't read because of the language barrier. They're trying to get, you know, that's when I knew it was real. And at that point, of course, I thought about my parents. Like, what will my old boy say? Oh, my mom say, you know, what will people think about me? You know, and at the same time, I was angry, like, what did I really do? You know, what's my crime? What exactly is the crime that you're arresting me for, or holding me for? You know, and they never said anything really until much, much later in the you know, during trial and all that stuff.
Wow. Okay. So, after you got arrested, during the trial, were you in jail for like 24 hours, 48 hours before they started processing you, or was it just straight to jail, to prison?
I was in jail for a night.
Okay.
Then because I was outside the main country, so I was in jail for a night. Then they transferred me to their own holding. So I was in the holding in the country I crossed into for a month.
Wow.
A month. And that month they were supposed to be doing. They're supposed to be doing paperwork to transfer me back to the country I left.
Okay, so the first night you spent in prison, did it still feel real or unreal?
It felt very real.
Wow, did you eat? What was it like for you?
Eat? They didn't even give me food.
Oh my God!
I didn't get food. I didn't get food. I was in like. A very dark, weird room, you know, and there was no bed because it was holding, so it's like a bench, so it was a bench that was like that's bolted to the wall and on the floor, very small bench, and I'm not the average sized guy, you get me? So I
tried
to lie on it. It was horrible. So I didn't sleep. I couldn't sleep. It was not possible to sleep, even if I could get my mind to stop, you know, processing what was going on. I wouldn't have been able to sleep.
So now, at what point did you think, oh, okay, I have to call home? Because I'm sure that you didn't call home like the very first week it happened, right?
First week it happened, I did.
Oh, you did. Oh, so how was your reaction at home?
Happened. My fiance at the time, so I called her because I was going to see her. So okay. I was crossing out of the country to go see her. So I called.
Are you there? Oh. I can't hear you anymore. Your voice has gone low. Can you hear me? Hello? Can you hear me now? Your voice went.
Can you hear me now?
Your voice went. Okay.
Yeah, I can hear you.
No problem.
Yeah, a call came in. I'm sorry. I got a call. So, I called her and then she tried to sort me out, but it wasn't very easy. So she's the one that had to, because for a while they didn't allow me call home. Yeah, I couldn't call.
So
home
what was your mom?
Until so she was
I'm curious
one of
to know
touch,
how your
eventually
mom reacted.
I was able to,
like, because I'm a woman, I can imagine my child calling me and saying, "Hey, mom, I'm in prison." Like, I would go AWOL. Mm-hmm. What was her reaction?
Anyway, I didn't talk to my mom until she knew. My fiance at the time did all. She was the one that already told them what was going on. And she, so it was. I didn't have to have that conversation. Like, oh, I'm in prison. you know, she had, they already knew. So all we were, all we talked about was make sure you're safe, and then we'll, let's see what we can try and sort out to get you out of the situation. I didn't have to break it to them.
Okay. So let's you go know, back it
was,
to
news was already reason, broken. It was already life. Broken to them.
The fact that you were arrested, not because you actually really committed a crime, but because you were associated with the people committing the crime. So now, when you got to prison, how long did you take to start making friends? And did you even make friends in prison? Because you were there for like a whole year. How did you survive, you know, with other prisoners in the newbie?
Oh, of course I did. I did. I definitely did. I did. It wasn't hard. You might think it would be hard, but it wasn't really that hard. I'm a very friendly person anyway. But, it didn't go the same way for anybody. So it was a
convict.
Sort of like a prison for international people. Yeah. So something like that. You know, not everyone there had committed a crime. Some people were just crossing borders and they ended up, you would think they would take them to some minimum security type place, but nah, they just dumped where we were, the country we were in, they're very popular for doing things like this. So there were all sorts of people. There were people that hadn't done anything. They were just crossing the border illegally. There were people that had actually committed crimes. There was even someone from the particular Russian Bratva. There was someone from.
So how did you?
What they call them? The rival gang of that. Bullies.
Because I watch movies and I see a lot of people are like, you know, there are different type of people in the prison. Like they're total good people, assholes. And did you ever get to deal with prison bullies? And how was your? What about your roommates? Were they like nice people, or you had your own personal space?
No. So throughout the time frame I was there, I had several roommates for several reasons. Some would come, maybe they get released. Some didn't like to be around Africans. some were just, you know, they were just weird. And there was one guy that actually died from, I don't know. Yeah, like, they never told us why he died. But yeah, so there were occasions like that, you know. But I didn't have a problem.
Okay, so let me ask you.
Anyone? No one ever directly came at me like that.
Your own take on you know, false accusations and I'm curious why it took them a whole year to actually figure it out that no, this dude does not belong to this place. Is it because of your skin color, or is it because you had no witness on stand, or maybe you had no alibi? Or I mean, I'm just curious on what at what point did they know? Okay, Mr. O, you don't belong here.
Let's put it this way. It's a bit of like everything you just mentioned. First of all, the skin color had a lot to do with it, for sure.
Hi. Okay, so we are back again. Sorry, guys. The network keeps going in and out. And I've been having a very amazing time talking to Mr. O on the topic prison and prisoners. Now, Mr. O, another question I would like to ask you is, at any point when you were in prison, did you actually feel like you committed a crime by rolling with these people?
Well, you're human. At some point, you feel like I shouldn't have done that. I should have just stayed away. But I mean, I got to realize very quickly that everything that happened, you know, was shaping me, you know, to be who I was starting to become, because I was already, I had begun to understand people a bit better. Let's just say I wasn't always the best people person, you know, but I was starting to understand, because there were so many people. There were Muslims, there were Christians, there were Africans, there were North Africans, there were West Africans, there were all sorts of people, you know, Afghanis, Iraqis. It was like a melting pot of, you know, different cultures and people. So I had to quickly understand, it got me to quickly understand that everybody operates differently, you know, especially coming from where they come from the different kind of backgrounds they come from, you know. So I understood that. So I didn't feel too bad eventually, you know. Of course you feel bad being locked up, not having your freedom. Someone decides when you shower, someone decides when you eat, someone decides you can't go anywhere. So, you know, and you barely even have, you know, the opportunity to come out or walk around. You know, the only exercise I ever got, I got in the cell, you know, on benches doing, you know, sit-ups or pull-ups or whatever. Yeah. You know, so, you know, but I didn't feel too bad eventually. I did at first, you know. I remember when they transferred me to the main place. When they transfer you, they keep you in isolation for a week. So I remember being in isolation. I remember crying my eyes out.
Oh my God.
I remember weeping, because I was like, this is my reality, you know. In isolation, you're not, at least if you're in Gen Pop, general population. So if you're in Gen Pop, you when it's time to go eat, you can go eat. Everybody goes to the mess hall, you eat, you know. But in isolation, they bring everything to you. You can't talk to anybody.
Damn.
So it does something to your psyche when you're sitting in a box with just one window of sunlight that has no view, you know, no real view, you know, just desolate land. Yeah. And then a toilet that doesn't even have a toilet seat, or you can't shower in there. You have to, it was crazy. Honestly, when I think about it, it was a bit crazy. You have to, in isolation, you have to use the sink. You can't even shower, because you have to use the sink, the water from the sink to shower, because there was no proper shower in there, you know? So if you don't do that for a whole week, you're not going to take a shower.
This is deep. Wow. Wow. This is really deep. All right. So that's going to bring me to another question, is how do prisoners, how do they typically spend their days? Like you said, there is like literally no freedom much. And how do you guys now, what do you do like from morning to night? What do you guys do? Because in movies, what I see is they work out, they fight, they stab each other, they eat. Is there more to what they show us in movies than, you know?
The movies, most of the movies have it right to an extent, you know. Okay. You know, most of the movies show you American prisons.
Yes.
The American prisons are soft, actually, to be honest, compared to European ones. There are some European ones that are soft as well, but you know, the Eastern Bloc or Central Eastern part of Europe, those Russia, Ukraine, all of that, it's not fun. it's not
fun. I can imagine.
I remember we used to hear stories. I'll get to that to that question, but I remember we used to hear stories about people that maybe someone else that was locked up somewhere, maybe like in England, and they tell you they have PlayStation and they have computers. I'm like, whoa, really? You guys are balling.
Wow.
Really? Us, we can only watch TV from like, when was it? What was it? How do I remember? From 8. We can watch TV from 8 to 10. And that 8 to 10 is the time you have to shower. So, from 8 in the evening, after just like an hour, 2 hours after you've had dinner, then the showers are on. So you go shower, and that's when you can catch the TV. So everybody is in this huge shower room. Everybody's trying to shower as quickly as they can so they can catch some TV, because whoever is there first gets to decide what they want to watch. Mm. You know, there's no, they just drop the remote for you. There's no, you hold the remote when you're tired. You drop it.
You drop it. Wow.
So it's crazy. It was really crazy. Wow. So the thing about what to do, if you're lucky enough, you can get some books.
Okay.
You read. I read a lot of books. I read the Bible like 500 times.
Wonderful.
Yeah, back to front. I have that same Bible still with me. I'm even staring at it right now. I like Dan Brown novels. So novels. I read. My ex fiance, she got me every single Dan Brown novel that existed. So I read all of that, and then I got more books. You read. That's the thing. That's the only thing that I can say is positive about being there, because you have nothing else to do. So you read.
Yeah.
You read anything you can get your hands on, and you read. Like, you don't just read it. You read it, you forget about it. Once you read it, it stays, because there's nothing else to put in your head. There's no TV bombarding you with multiple informations. There's no, just reading and listening to what everybody else has to say. So in a sense, it can be informative depending on the kind of person you are. But if you're just the average person, and you're just you. I had a guy, I won't mention his name, but I had a guy that was a Nigerian that was there.
Mm.
He was there before me, about a month before me.
Yeah.
And he never came out of the cell.
What?
Only to eat. Only when it was time to eat, he'll come out. He never came out of the cell. He never got off his bed.
Wow. Was he going through depression or was just...
depressed. But then I started talking to him. I started trying to get him out. And then he started opening up a bit. He opened up to me because I was Nigerian.
Yeah.
So the more we talked, he started opening up to me more, you know, and then he started coming out himself. And when they saw him coming, they're like, wow, okay. So this guy is even alive, you know? So, yeah. There are people, there are so many people that, of course, I mean, in a situation like that, you're going to deal with some kind of depression, or you're going to deal with some
True. And also now let's move into, we've talked about you, we've talked about your experience. Mm-hmm. I want to move a little bit into the Nigerian prison system. Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, and you know, I know you're yeah. So I'm one of those people that I feel like the prison in Nigeria is so annoying. When you went to prison, you came back a better person, I believe, and because I know you now, and I mean I can tell that you are like one of the very good people around me and in my life. You're welcome. And also I've seen someone who went to prison in Nigeria and he came out and his outcome it was like crazy. I believe that prison should be reformation, you know, for anyone. Like you go in there as some sort of punishment to come out and be a better person. But when people go to prison in Nigeria, they become really 99% of them become really terrible. Why is that though?
You know, Nigeria. I don't know. I can't explain what the problem is with Nigeria and the way the people that are in charge of things like this. I don't understand the way they see things.
Mm.
But I've heard stories, you know, about Nigerian prisons, and I think that I don't blame people for becoming who they become or who they became, whichever one applies, because
it's
not even conducive. It's not even there's no prison that is conducive realistically, but like at least the little comforts, like the beds and all those kind of things. I hear stories and I'm like, how do these guys even sleep, you know? Sometimes you want. Sometimes they have to. Sometimes they want to eat. They're the ones that have to find money that they'll use to tell them to buy food for. I've heard different stories. Yeah.
Wow.
I remember even in jail. Even I had there was a friend that was in jail at one point that they were holding him for the weekend, and you know, I had to be dropping money at the police counter for the guy to eat. And eventually, when I was even able to see the guy and talk to him, he said that he hasn't even eaten. I said, I've been dropping money for you. Baba said, I've not seen any food. So I now literally had to start buying food and making sure I see them give him the food. You understand? So if they're doing that in jail, just jail, that is just, you know, not even, they don't know if you've done anything, what would they be doing in prison, you know? You know, and then they don't protect the prisoners against from each other. You know, that sort of thing. At least when there were riots over there, when there were the prison riots would come up, no way, no how. At least they'll try and stop you. They'll bring in like you know, riot guards, and they'll try and stop it. They'll try and reduce the danger of it all. But when you enter Nigerian prison, you're on your own. If they bully you, they bully you.
Wow. So they're like, no good correctional officers in Nigeria.
I doubt it.
I highly doubt it too. Okay, so now, Nigerian system is just, we all know that it's one very messed up system to start with.
Definitely.
I remember one time in uni where I got arrested.
Not a shocker.
But not a shock, please. No, but really, what I got arrested for was so silly because I got arrested for dressing too sexy. I and a friend, I'm sure probably when she's listening to this, she'll just be laughing. And my friend was like, she was so scared. She was like, oh my God, you're going to take us to prison. I'm like, dude, chill. And then I kept on asking the policeman, like, okay, what did we do? For like 2-3 hours, they didn't say what we did. And then finally, when the guy now said, you people are wearing short skirts. I was like, what? Really?
Ridiculous.
I mean, it was almost 4 a.m. in the morning. It was almost 4 a.m. And this guy was just telling me, it's because I'm dressing, I wore something short. I was like, okay, so what's the solution? He said, we have to pay 20,000 to bail ourselves. So I said, I don't have 20K to bail myself for wearing a dress. It's too short. So, you know, little things like this could have actually escalated and they'll probably pin and say, oh, probably I murdered someone and then they'll send me to prison before you know, that's the end of my life. You know, we find these kind of situations a lot in Nigeria. Like, I know a friend of mine that visited the prison and said, oh, he spoke to someone and the guy said they arrested him because he had dreadlocks and he's been there for like 3 months.
Yeah. I've heard things like that too.
Yeah. Do you think the Nigerian system can actually be better if, one, the police is being reformed, two, the law is actually the law, three, if the prisons are like actually conducive and better, and four, do you think that people should actually go to prison to try to teach these people, you know, some sort of skills and, you know, some, I mean, they have talent and stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of people are scared of going to the prison to start with.
Of course,
do you think all of this will help?
Because the correctional officers can't guarantee their safety anyway if they go
True.
Yeah, but all these things listed, with all the things you've listed, that just means that we're not in Nigeria anymore.
Wow.
No, but jokes apart. Yes, if all these things are in place, of course, it will be it definitely will be different. You know, because the main issue that Nigeria as a country has is the mindset. We're very stuck in our ways of doing things very shabbily, unfortunately.
Yes.
So once you can reform, so you mentioned, police reform, teaching the police how to go about their business in the first place. That in itself can go a long way. That's mindset. If you're able to change the mindset, then every other thing will be easy to do.
Yes.
I think.
You know? Wow.
So yeah.
Yeah. So I heard about you remember this Kaduna musician that spoke against a particular religion and giving him the death penalty. How do you feel about the death penalty, like generally?
Okay. This is really gray area. So there's some scenarios I think the death penalty is warranted.
Okay.
There's sometimes I feel like, you know, let this guy suffer instead. You get sometimes I think holding someone in prison for life is worse than death.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes it might seem like that, you know, depending on. I am for it and I'm not for it at the same time, you know. I don't have a fixed
it's
mind.
Still about someone's life.
Yeah. If I hear a child molester raped a baby or something like that, man, that nigga has to die. I'm sorry.
Oh yeah, I'm with you on that one.
Before he suffers, before he suffers, they should do to him what he did to the child. Then they can kill him. Then he shouldn't exist. Don't give him the opportunity to be reformed or anything. I'm sorry. I don't want to sound like
you don't believe it. You don't believe a pedophile could actually change with a lot of
therapy. I don't. I can't even understand what goes through a person's mind when they do like that to a child or a baby. For heaven's sake, even in prison, pedophiles are like the most vile creatures in prison. When everybody says, "Oh, this guy was a pedophile," or "This guy raped the kid," that guy has a mark on him.
Damn,
he marks by the time they end up dead. If they don't ever end up dead, they end up like being raped like consistently.
My goodness. Woo, yeah. Talking about being raped. I mean, how do prisoners, how do men, like, I know some people probably went to prison straight, not gay, but they keep busting people's asshole, like, as some sort of punishment. How is that pleasure, though?
Some people conjure a bastard, though. You know, that's the point where if you don't keep your mind busy, that's where there's a problem.
Yeah. Were you at any point scared that someone could bust your ass in prison?
Nah, I was gonna die first. Fuck it, I would die first. Yes, I die first before that shit happens to me.
Oh, wow.
I'm okay to curse on your podcast, though.
No, it's okay. It's fine. Okay.
Like I said, I'd die first.
Yeah.
I learned a lot of shit. Like, we used to keep razor blades in our mouth. There's a way you can keep it in your mouth. Yeah, no blade, but like from shaving stick, blade from the shaving stick. You have the shaving stick. They must give you shaving stick, but you only use it during shower. So during shower, you just remove one blade out of the two blades there. Stick it in your mouth. So in between where the gums and your teeth, there's space there. You can secure it there. And those blades they're very flexible. So people have to have blades in our mouths and we'll be eating with the blade still in your mouth.
Damn. Thick and strong.
Yeah.
Wow, I think one of my greatest fear in life is, you know, finding myself in prison. I mean, tonight will make it worse, in Niger prison. I just think a lot goes on in people's mind that find themselves in this situation. And a lot of people deserve to go to prison. And also, I think I was reading a book one time that told me that some people love to go to prison because they want to escape their reality. Yes. And at some point, I'm like, that is psychotic. But then also, it's like their own escape route, you know?
Okay.
To just find themselves, like, you know, in the midst of other people. But then, we'll soon go. So I'm going to ask you, like, maybe, like, one or two questions. So now, well, the first time the first time you were released from prison, how did you feel?
Oh my god. So I'll break the story to you this way. They told me the night before that I was being released in the morning.
Okay.
When they told me, I was like, really? Are they sure they are going to release me? Like, yeah, the lawyer's done everything. I'm good, blah, 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 blah. They give me all my papers, they give me my passport, everything. So I'm like, oh, wow, okay. So in the morning, I'm gone, yeah? So it was early, like before people even woke up. They didn't even let me say goodbye to them. Early, like 4:35, they came, they got me. It's like, okay, you know, sign here. They opened up and I was outside. Next thing, like just like that, in less than 30 minutes, I was outside. I was looking back and they had shut the gate. They didn't even... So I was standing there like, what am I going to do? Like,
yeah.
I was like, yo, I need to catch a train to go back to this place, to go back here. But what am I... I was just standing there with my bags like, yo. Wow. Mm. So I'm free. You know, at that moment, I didn't know what to do with my freedom. I didn't know if I wanted to yell, scream, cry, shout. I had no idea what to do, but I wanted to get as far away as I could. So I went to the train station, got the train, got to my city. And when I got to my city, got to my house, I had a very nice cry. Because at that moment I knew, like, I got to my house and it was my house, you know? And then I wanted to take a piss and I could see toilet seats on the toilet and I wanted to eat. So I went to my kitchen by myself, just randomly. Those little things that you can just get up now and go to your kitchen or get up now and go, you know, just getting up and going out of your room alone. It's like,
it was a very good
was just a great feeling for me. You know, I felt great. I was relieved, you know, because I thought I was going to die at some point. I thought someone was going to kill me. and then I was relieved because I didn't lose my sanity. I kept myself happy, you know. I constantly was keeping myself happy, smiling. And people would be like, why are you smiling? You're in prison, fam. Why are you smiling? You know, it's not the end of the world. I'm not dying in here. I'm gonna get out someday, so you know, I might as well just keep myself.
Yeah, but that's for you that have hope that you're going to get out someday. Mm-hmm. You know, well, for people who don't have hope anymore, I mean, they just leave and they've accepted the fact that, look, I'm a convict.
Yeah.
I'm here for life, and that's it.
Yeah.
And then that brings me to another question, right? Mm-hmm. Or let me just say, I don't know if it's a question or maybe I'm just making a statement. Yeah, it should be a question. So when you came out of prison, when you turned back, you were like, oh, wow, I'm free. Now, this is what actually makes me wonder if the system could have been better. Maybe when a prisoner is leaving, they say, oh, okay, we're giving you this $100. Use this $100. Wait, no, I know it's going to sound so all right now, right? But I'm just thinking, so this person does not go back to the life of crime immediately. Mm-hmm. Because I've heard and I've seen movies of whereby someone leaves prison in the morning and they arrest him again in the evening because there is no single money on him to do anything. So I feel like maybe if the system says, you know what, we give you $100 so you can take a train home or you can do this or you can do that. You know, maybe start a life by yourself.
Oh, no, they will provide train tickets for you. But I don't, in Nigeria, they won't do shit for you. You know, you
yeah, Nigeria do shit for you. I'll be shocked.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It could be easier. It would be easier if they could do things like that. Like in my case, they just, you know, they gave me the my release papers. I signed them. And the warden, we used to call there was this name we used to call him anyway. But the warden was like, he came at me. He's like, thank you for being very calm the whole time. I know that you know, because they had proven that I did nothing. So he was like, I know the whole time you could have been very bitter and very, you know, angry, but you handled yourself. And, you know, so he shook my hand. Oh, thank you.
And you didn't think about suing them.
What? Sue what? I would lose if I killed them. I'll still
That's
lose.
True. That's true.
Yeah, because I'm the Nigerian guy in Europe somewhere. I wasn't anybody special. You know, I was just a regular Nigerian guy. I would lose so badly.
Yeah, I can imagine. Anyway, it was really nice talking to you. Today I just picked up like so many things I probably didn't even know about you. And
exactly.
Your story, your experience is just like nice. It's very fascinating. And your mental state, I mean, did you get to see a psychotherapist or a psychologist afterwards, or you had to wean yourself off every trauma?
Yeah,
that you went through?
Yeah, I didn't have, I should have, but you know, I sort of, psychology is kind of something I have some interest in. So I was sort of self-diagnosing myself and seeing where I felt like I had some flaws. I'm still dealing with some things till now, to be honest. I won't lie to you. There's still the sleep issues I have sometimes.
Now, let me ask you a question. You are a dad now, right? I believe. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Would you, since you've had this experience on prison and being a prisoner, do you think that will affect the way you're going to train up your children? Because I'm sure you have fear for them to join bad gangs or
rogue. Of course, it will affect it. But it will affect the way I want to bring my kids up, but it shouldn't control it.
Good.
Yeah, I don't want it to control it. And don't go out. Don't. That's. I'll be fooling myself if I think I'm going to be able to do that.
Yeah.
You know, when it gets to that age. But the only thing I know and I keep saying constantly is that I want to make sure that my kids can tell me everything.
Yeah.
Everything, every little info, except for my daughter. I don't want to hear some things from my daughter, but
why?
There's no dad on the face of the earth that wants his daughter telling him, "Oh, dad, I just had sex."
No.
I will kill her and kill the guy that, you know.
Are
obviously.
You kidding me?
I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it at a certain age. When she gets to the age, maybe even at that point, it's cringe. It's gonna be very cringe, wouldn't it? You get me? But you know, if she's I met this guy, you know, we've been blah 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 at a certain age, you get me? But she's just randomly come and tell me, "Oh, daddy, how we kill her."
Yeah. All right, that is so cute. You're just really cute, dad. Anyway, thank you so much
for having me. This was fun. I thought by now I should have come on a couple of times.
But before you go, we always play a game on this episode. Yeah,
okay.
So today we will be playing the Would You Rather game.
Okay.
So you have 5 questions and would you rather. So would you rather lose all your teeth or all your hair?
I lose all my hair. I'd rather lose all
bald
my
is good. Okay, all right.
Teeth.
Would you rather be able what?
I said teeth. I mean, teeth is just weird. You'll be eating funny and you'd have to have dentures and hair.
All right, can we still, you know, guys wear wigs now, so it works.
Yes, ma'am. All right,
so would you rather be stranded in the jungle or in the desert?
Jungle.
Okay.
I'd rather be
stranded. Because there's food.
Yeah, that's possible. Yeah, I can do something with some things.
Okay, all right. All right, so would you rather never stop growing taller or never need to sleep?
I cannot go taller anymore. I'd rather stop growing taller. Sleep, that's sleep. Me, I'm still looking for sleep like this. I'd rather stop growing taller. Babe. I need sleep.
Okay. All right, so would you rather be able to whisper only all your life or being a very loud person all your life?
Whisper. I'd rather whisper. than
what loud. People have to be saying. What did you say?
But then if you're too loud, then you start to annoy people.
Eventually. Yeah, true. All right. So last question: would you rather marry someone that you don't love or marry someone that doesn't love you?
Wow. Oh wow. Ah, yeah, Lego. Oh,
that is that's a tough one.
but okay, I guess I'd rather marry someone I don't love. I guess. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Because at least if she loves me, you know. But if I love her and then I don't know if she loves me, only God knows how I'll be so insecure the whole time.
Yeah. You know? But if you marry someone that you don't love, you'll be irritated all the time too.
Not always.
Trust me, you will be.
Because you don't love someone doesn't mean they'll irritate you, no?
You know, sometimes when we find ourselves in a relationship that the love has gone, the only thing that stays is...
I get what you're saying, but I don't think that's true all the time. I think there's some scenarios where it depends on what kind of friendship you have, right?
But in this case, you guys don't have any friendship. Just it's a would you rather.
I stick with my choice still.
All right, that's good. Anyway, thank you so much for playing this game.
Thank you
for coming on this episode. Thank you for being so honest and being so real. I really appreciate it, and I hope to have you again on any of our episodes and get your friends to listen to this year episode as well.
I'm waiting. I'm waiting for the invite for another one.
All right. So, guys, this is the end of our episode on prison and prisoners. I hope you guys can keep listening and remember to follow us on Instagram at @MayITalk_ and also on Facebook at @MayITalk. All right. See you again next time. We are peacing out. Thank you.